Hey everyone, I'm NECA.
And I'm Chris. And today we're going to continue our conversation about virtual learning, online learning, some people refer to it as distance learning, or home-based learning, all right? But in particular, we're going to focus on supports for parents, okay? And this is for parents who find themselves at home teaching their children because of the pandemic that we're in, or this is also for parents who homeschool their children, and also parents who just want to learn how to use online teaching tools to support their child's learning. All right?
Okay. So we'll get started with the first question. So what can parents do to support their child's online learning at home?
First, let's talk about creating a schedule. Now, the schedule is very important. The learning day has to have some degree of structure. Now, it doesn't have to be totally structured because you're homeschooling and there are other things that come into play when you're at home. You know, you may have to take a phone call or something like that as a parent, but structure does matter. So let's talk a little bit about how we structured our day. Now, remember, we've been homeschooling for 18 years, I think. Is that right? And we have three children. We homeschooled two of our children all the way through to college. The one graduated this year, our daughter, and our son graduated last year from college. And then we have one more. We have a 13-year-old and we're homeschooling her. She's in the 10th grade right now. So when we do this, when we structure the day, you know, we consider the fact that math and science, math 4 days a week. Now on Monday, they might take two or three classes, mm-hmm. right? Pretty much Monday through Thursday.
So it's structured like a block schedule.
Like a block schedule.
Some independent schools do this.
Mm-hmm. Right. To where you might take math 4 times, but you might take English 2 or 3 times mm-hmm. In the week. And social studies might be twice or something like that. And the class might be hour to an hour and a half long. All right. 2 to 3 classes a day. And I always recommend that you do math and science in the morning. Don't structure that class. Don't schedule that class later in the day because it's more rigorous. It demands more and you want the students to take that those classes when their energy is highest. Okay. So another thing to consider is, when you're structuring the day, sometimes you want to factor in field trips. Now you can do virtual field trips. PBS Learning, I think, has some virtual arrangement where you can go and go wherever you want to go, right? Online. And projects too. You know, you want to make sure that.
And Discovery Education.
And Discovery Education. That's mm-hmm. right. Yeah. So PBS and Discovery Education. And then projects are very important. We do a lot of project-based learning, cross-curricular projects to where it might be a history project, but there may be a science component to it or a math component to it in terms of learning how to use models and visuals to capture whatever it is you want to say. So,
okay. The other thing that I think we should remind them of mm-hmm. is how to structure the schedule, because some parents are homeschooling, but then other parents are actually, their kids are still enrolled in public or private school. So in that case, some of this may apply, some of this may not apply. But in the case of a child who's actually still enrolled in school online, one of the things I want to remind parents to do is communicate and collaborate with the teacher. Mm-hmm. So can we talk a little bit about just what research says about screen time and how much screen time kids should really spend?
Yeah, definitely. When you're using online learning, it's a tool among other tools for learning. And so research does show that using technology can enhance the learning, but it also says that you cannot. When you have students sitting in front of a computer for long extended periods of time, it becomes counterproductive. So I would say 50 minutes to an hour if they're not working on a project, okay, where they have to watch maybe some instructional videos or do some online research, but no more than an hour straight. Okay. And if it's a project, then they're not sitting in front of that computer for the whole hour and a half, because they're usually creating some type of physical, or visual or something like that. Even if they're working on creating a presentation in maybe Google Slides or something, you still want them to use other resources like textbooks and other stuff. You want to structure it to where their work is not just dependent on what they find online, but also using textbooks and other materials. So you want to include that. But yeah, no more than an hour straight online, and then taking a break after that.
Right.
10 minutes or something, 15 minutes.
Right. And for smaller children, because I know some parents have a concern about smaller kids. Some teachers are still learning how to teach with technology, and they're holding younger kids in class, online class, for hours. You cannot do that with smaller kids. Smaller kids they really, really need some transitions, and they also need some breaks. So what I recommend, going back to communication and collaboration with the teachers, parents, you know your younger kids better than anyone. You know what capacity they have to actually sit and be attentive while learning in class online. So what I recommend you do is advocate, have a conversation with the teacher, and try to come up with some kind of plan. Let the teacher know what your concerns are, communicate that to the teacher, and find out if there is an alternative plan that may be put in place for your child, and take the responsibility for making sure your child actually gets that work done. So if that looks like your child can only sit for 30 minutes, then 30 minutes it is. And you, as the parent, you will have to advocate. You will have to communicate with that teacher and say, this is as much as my child can do. Let me know what needs to be done, and I will take the initiative to make sure the work is complete.
Yeah, that was a good point. And what you said reminded me, for the screen time can vary. For elementary school, what, no more than 30 minutes straight?
No more than 30 minutes.
Right, right. Middle and high school, no more than an hour straight. Okay. So, but yeah, I also think that.
No more than 30 minutes at a time.
At a time.
So yeah. When they take that, when they break at that 30 minutes, give them recess time, give them time to move and be active in the home. Give them at least 10 to 15 minutes to do that before they go back to schoolwork.
Right. You might give them a break and allow them to play with some kind of toys, Legos or something like that. And that's another thing, that's a part of learning and curriculum too, because when they're learning through play, and they're stimulating their mind and certain pieces, parts of their mind, for creativity and critical thinking. That's important as well. They can develop those skills through play, and then that strengthens their ability. That strengthens their ability when they are applying those skills to an educational setting or an assignment or something like that. So yeah, make sure you vary that, whether it's break time for play, or maybe just they might go and take a shower or something. I don't know. It's like that with homeschooling, okay?
Right.
Or they may decide that one guy, you may decide they want to just go run around or something, or relax or lay down, You can do that. It is okay.
Right.
This is homeschool. This is learning at home, not learning in the class, in the traditional school setting. So.
Right. And with that, what we recommend, which is what we use, is we have an actual schedule we have created we've done this for all of our kids, but particularly I'm going to talk about our 13-year-old now. She has a schedule. When she wakes up, she can follow that schedule. She knows what she's supposed to do and at what time. That's the structure the kids need. We cannot expect them to wake up and just open up a computer and not know what they're doing for the day.
Right.
This time calls for us to give our kids structure, even at home. They're accustomed to having that. in the school environment. They can have the same thing at home. It just takes you as the parent to create, you can create this schedule in Google Docs. You can create a Google table, or you can use Excel. We use Excel. So, you have those two options.
Yeah. Or Google Spreadsheet for Google Docs and all that stuff. But mm-hmm. I did want to acknowledge something. It's very important how the students spend their time in the morning when they get ready for learning. Remember, prior to that, they were at home and they were in the home, the traditional home environment where they may have been watching TV, spending right. time with family the night before. So when they wake up, you got to help them transition. Now, right. schools have a way of doing yeah. that. They call it homeroom or circle time or 30, right. like the first 30 minutes. Or some people who may have a spiritual foundation, they call it devotion. All right. right? That's what we used to do. But have a way of easing them in. Don't just right. have them wake up, wash their face, brush their teeth, and then go into learning. No, right. no. You want to all, and during that time, you're talking to them, letting them talk to you. Right. And they're talking about their day, what matters to them. It's very informal, but do it, make it a routine.
Right.
Because that's a way that you can bring them out of, and help them transition
right.
from the informal time they had the night before into mm-hmm. the academic environment.
Absolutely. Because they are at home.
Right.
It's important. It's really, really important to help young people make that transition. They're already, some of them are already in their pajamas. Okay. Mm-hmm. For example, we've both been teaching online. We homeschool, but we're also educators mm-hmm. and we've had to create ground rules and require our students to sit up straight, mm-hmm. to
don't lay down.
Right. Not to lay down mm-hmm. and not take on the comfort they may feel mm-hmm. in their pajamas.
Right.
Okay, they're in their house clothes, but they're still in an online learning environment. So they need to act accordingly. So right. it's our job to help them make that transition mm-hmm. and understand that just because you're at home and you're in comfortable clothing does not mean you can slouch. It doesn't right. mean that you can lay on the table while your teacher is mm-hmm. talking. Mm-hmm. They need to give that teacher the same attention and time they put into preparing to show up and give them the information they need to continue to learn.
That's okay? right. So in a nutshell, make sure when they get up, have them get dressed.
Okay. Right.
No pajamas, because then they're going to act like they're in pajamas.
right.
And there's going to be some conflict between
right.
you and your child. All right.
Right.
Okay. Where we are next?
So next, I mentioned for some of you who watched the webinar we did with the Association of Black Psychologists, I mentioned something called COOP, which is an acronym. So I'm going to talk about it just briefly right now for parents who may not be able to homeschool and may be challenged with time because you're a single parent and or there may be two parents in the household, but you're both essential workers. Your time is very limited. So one of the things I recommended was COOP, which is an acronym for number one is connect. So the first thing that I would say to this is specifically for homeschoolers, is to connect with other people who have knowledge and experience you don't have, because that's going to be critical as you make the transition yeah. from your child actively attending public school to you becoming the teacher of record. Okay. The next thing is order and organize. So in that case, this would relate more to parents who have their children enrolled in public schools, but they're currently learning at home. What that means is call to order a meeting with family and friends. And in this meeting, what you can do is organize your family members and friends, key friends, and talk and form a family education committee. So family and friends education committee, or you may want to call it a task force, whatever you decide to call it. The function of this group is to oversee the education of the kids while they're at home. So you may oversee the education of several kids in your family or several kids in the community. However you decide to organize this, the key is organize. The key is connect. The key is ordering, bringing people together, organizing, and deciding we're going to oversee. We're no longer going to trust that our kids are getting what they need when we send them to school. We are now going to oversee this and make sure they're getting what they need. So in a case where the kids are not getting what they need, you can then advocate because you've been home with them while they're learning online. You can actually see what has been happening in the classroom all of this time. Now you're more informed to take an active role in their education. And lastly, the way this works or the way it can work is you can even form a rotation. So you can create a schedule using the same system we use to create schedules for our kids' learning, right? You can create a schedule, create a rotation so that it's not too much on any individual person who decides to make that commitment to volunteer their time and supervise the kids' learning. And lastly, the P stands for creating a philosophy of education, a philosophy and purpose of education, of which we will talk about in another video. But I think that is so important because if you understand what the purpose of education is, then it becomes more clear whether or not your children are receiving what they need and the philosophy as well. So ultimately what you're doing, just to reiterate, is you're preparing a philosophy of education and a purpose. And once you do that, you will become so clear about what it is your kids need and what it's going to take to help them succeed.
Right. So, with that in mind, remember, education, we're educating our children and we're preparing them for today, right? In terms of how they conduct themselves and developing their faculties, their mental faculties. We're also preparing them for tomorrow. Mm-hmm. For example, when they graduate high school, when they go off to college, graduate college or some kind of post-secondary option, right? CTE, career technical education. Mm-hmm. And then they go look for a job or start a business. Mm-hmm. Now, what comes to mind in that, here we are in this information and technology age, I want to talk a little bit about the MOOC, which stands for Massive Open Online Courses, all right? Mm-hmm. Now, first I want to talk about what is MOOC, and the second is why does it matter? So some examples, you've heard of them before once I say the names, Coursera, mm-hmm. right? These are platforms, Udemy, mm-hmm. Udacity, what else? LinkedIn Learning, mm-hmm. and
edX,
thank you, I was trying to remember that one. And then they got some others out there as well. Well, these platforms are great. They provide a way for both students and adults to deepen their skill set. Right. Sometimes you can even earn a college degree, bachelor's degree, master's degree online with some of these platforms. Mm-hmm. So let's talk. Now that we know what they are, they provide skill development. You know, there are quizzes, there are practice problems, there are instructional videos, and a lot of them, sometimes they provide lifetime access. And then at the end, you get a certification. So why does it matter? Because our students, our children are going to have to compete and go and look for jobs at some point. And a lot of companies right now are requiring students, in addition to the college degree or in lieu of the college degree, they want them to have specific skills like data science, programming skills, C# or JavaScript, or just all kind of stuff out there. So they want them to have those skills. They want them to know about machine learning and AI, artificial intelligence, where, well, these MOOC courses provide those certifications. I've even taken some as well.
And we had our kids take the courses. Yeah. Our two oldest, we've had them take the courses when they were younger, prior to starting college.
Right.
And we're actually doing the same, preparing to do the same thing with our 13-year-old.
And it's not just technical, there's marketing, right? You know, learning web design, all kind of stuff. But it's important. So I would say, go into some of these platforms. For example, we have a course right now. I have a course on Udemy. It's called Algebra Made Easy with Math Minutes Pro. And just came out August 1st. It's a great course. It's focused on algebra topics from Algebra 1, Algebra 2, to pre-calculus and college algebra. So that's an example. If you're not really strong in the math, you can, you know, go and check that out and purchase the course. Sometimes you can get courses for free as well, you know, so depending on when they're running, these platforms are running discounts. So yeah, I would go and take a look at that, sit down with your child, middle and high school schooler, and find out what their interests are. And that could be an elective.
And for parents who've been saying for a long time, I can't help my kids in math, I can't help them in algebra. Well, guess what? You can now. You can enroll in the course, learn it, so you can teach your kids.
That's right.
Or you can take it with them.
Yep. Yep. Because remember, it's instructional videos. And when you're learning with videos, that's another thing. Mm-hmm. We say you don't watch the video all the way through as if you're watching some TV show. You pause it. And sometimes you might need to rewind it back, or, you know, take it back and hear something again and then have a little dialogue about it. Or sometimes you may need to pause it and then take notes and then press play again. That's how you use it. You know, some people refer to it as film study or something like that in research settings. But that's the best way to learn when you're using video-based resources.
And lastly, let's talk about the babies, the small children. We started out talking about the younger children, so we'll end talking about the younger children. For the little ones, involve them in the process. And here's how you can do it. They are not accustomed to learning this way. A lot of them are not accustomed to that. They're accustomed to seeing their friends. They look forward to recess. So they can't do that, but what you can allow them to do is celebrate the small, the monumental, the just the little things, the monumental moments. So if they complete 5 days, you can create a chart. If you don't have anything but white paper or lined paper at home, you can have them do it, or you can do it together. Create a chart, and when they complete and they can visually see that they've done well in online class for 5 days straight, then they get to choose the fun time they are able to have, fun family time. That might be watching a movie, a kid movie. That may be making cookies. That may be baking a cake. Whatever it is, whatever's fun to them, whatever they come up with, allow them to involve them in that process. Ask them, what would they like to do now that they've reached the end of the week? They've done the work. What would they like to do to celebrate a week of success? Adults do it. We have our ways of celebrating the end of the week after we've been working very hard all week. Allow your children to do the same thing. And even when they go back to school, I would really urge you to make this a habit. Make it a habit to celebrate monumental moments with your kids when they complete a week, when they complete 2 weeks, or when they complete a report card period.
Yes.
Celebrate that. They have, teach them how to congratulate themselves. Teach them how to celebrate the work that they put in. And this is a way you can do it. You can really take advantage of this time that you have at home with your kids to teach them lessons you may not have had an opportunity to teach in the past. So with that.
There's one more thing I wanted to touch on that's related to that. You can factor in your celebrations in your curriculum planning.
Yes.
Planning is very important. If you don't have your planning down, then you may be in trouble. So let's talk just briefly about that. Mm-hmm. So what I've done with math and what we've done with the other core subjects is we plan at two different levels. We plan at the high level where we sit down and just think about what are the topics or units that we want to cover for the year, for the next 9 months. Mm-hmm. And so we identify what those nine units or main topics are. And you can do this in a calendar, or you can write it on a piece of paper,
right?
You know, or Excel, whatever. But that way you know what you want to do over the year, the school year. Then you move to the more detailed planning. And that's where you create some kind of schedule of how you want to differentiate the way you teach and the way they learn. So Monday through Friday. Friday you may designate as game day, right, for projects or something like that. Mm-hmm. Monday you might use a warm-up, or the next, and then another Monday you might use something like you might an opener. You know, an opener that's exciting and fun. Mm-hmm. But anyway, you make Monday look a little different, you know, depending on what week you're in. Tuesday, you might think about using a particular type of supplemental resource, mm-hmm. right? Puzzles or something like that. You know, I'm just using math, for example. Tuesday might be math puzzle day. Right. Or where you come up with a problem where they got to work on solving that math puzzle. Right. Or brain teaser or something like that. So that's a way of differentiating how they learn. Now, differentiating how you teach. That's the word we use, is pedagogy. So it could be direct teaching where you are just sitting and explaining. Mm-hmm. It could be use of technology like a video or learning online. It could be guided discovery. That's where you sit down with them and you ask them questions to guide them and see if they can figure out what are the answers to certain questions. You bring them into a conversation. And
guided discussion.
Yeah. And then, yeah, the guided discussion.
Got for it. Other subjects.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's where you go into, you're going to, it's not going to be so much about writing, but you want to build, a critical conversation, build their capacity to think and articulate and say what they mean. So you might do that for 30 minutes, okay? So and so you vary that. You so that every day doesn't look mundane and the same.
Right.
And that brings the variety. Mm-hmm. And then you consider the different ways of learning, right? There's auditory. Sometimes they may listen to a podcast.
Right.
There's the visual. Right. That's where you bring the arts in. Mm-hmm. And have them create something that's a visual or a model. Then there's hands-on kinesthetic, where they may have to build something, right? Mm-hmm. So you sit down and you plan that. Mm-hmm. Now, since some of you may just getting started with this, you don't think you have to plan every day in advance. That's not even how we did it. Been doing it for 18 years. When it's Saturday, you plan for the week coming up.
Right. Now, what he's getting into is what we learn in teacher education programs. Yeah. So he's giving you an overview of actually what we're going to talk about in the next course we release on Udemy, which is going to be an intro to homeschool.
Orientation,
mm-hmm. exactly. Yeah. So a lot of what he's talking about doesn't necessarily apply to parents with children continuing to remain enrolled in public education, but all of this applies to parents who have made a final decision that you want to homeschool. There's a lot to learn and you can do it. You can learn it. But remember, I mentioned earlier, connect. You need to partner with people who have done this and done it well.
Yeah.
So what we're going to do is in the next video, we're going to talk more about socialization, because some parents have this question, particularly homeschool parents, about socialization. Okay, I've decided, or my husband and I have decided, that we want to homeschool, but what about socialization? They've heard criticisms about children who are homeschooled. They have low social skills. So we're going to talk more about that in the next video. The other thing that we're going to talk about are strategies you can use to become a little more purposeful about how you rear your children, how you socialize them. And lastly, we're going to talk about, hopefully we'll get a chance to hit on this topic, is some of the things that married couples deciding to homeschool need to consider and guard against.
That's right. That's right. All right. So thank you for joining us in this video. Remember to like, comment, and subscribe. And don't forget to check out the links in the video description below. So until then, we'll see you again. Thank you.
Thank you.